Welcome back from the Desk of Low. We got a very special guest because I found him through one of my favorite artists right now. And when I did my research on him, he's got a pretty good resume. So I won't hold y'all. I have Ito on the phone.
Peace. What's the wordplay?
Man, how you doing, sir? Salute from Canada.
Oh, man, y'all can't complain. I'm keeping busy, man. I'm out the way, man. Music, family. You know what I mean?
I see you real busy with the music, too, always in the studio.
Always, shit. It's either that or in the streets.
I like how you keep it a buck.
Yeah, man, you know, I'm just keeping busy, man, and, you know, staying out of harm's way. How about you, man? How you feeling?
Oh, man, I'm feeling very blessed, man. You know, I've been killing it with these interviews. I actually wanted to interview the most, though, because I've been fucking with that Amaretta project heavy.
Thank you, man.
Thanks. I got to give props to where it's due, sir.
Right on, man. It's crazy. A lot of people still just catching on, you know. But, I mean, I'd rather that than them to be unfamiliar. You know what I mean?
For the people who are not familiar with you, sir, can you tell the listeners where you're from?
From Rochester, New York, man. Hell's Roof, upstate New York. Born and raised, still here.
Some real ones out in Rochester, New York.
Yeah, man, certainly, man. This is home base here, man. You know, I got a lot of support here. You know what I mean? This is where it all started, so... You know what I mean?
Is that where most of your inspiration comes from?
Well, for the most part, you know, I came up in a musical household. My uncles, you know, family, they all musicians, you know what I mean? So came up around music, but my inspiration comes from music, period, not just Rochester. Nas is my number one guy, you know what I mean? He probably gave me the most motivation to want to do what I do now, you know. Nas, Illmatic, you know what I mean?
The way that you rap your rhymes, you can definitely tell that he influenced your style, because when I listen to, like, a project, like a New Crack Area, like the song Clean It House, you paint pictures, like, with your words, and that's very rare for an artist to have.
That's dope, man. I mean, I appreciate that. Don't sleep, man. Me and V-Don got some other shit coming. Y'all gonna love it, promise. Gonna be real crazy. You know, a lot of people are requesting part two, but, you know, where I feel about it, man, is that I can't match that shit. So we just gonna keep pushing and creating. You know what I mean?
I like how you said you can't match that, because I noticed with, like, a lot of artists, they go back and try to recreate, like, the first piece of magic that they had, but you seem like the type to, like, want to create, like, a new classic, too.
Yeah, definitely. I would never want to do a whole murder part two, because, again, I mean, a lot of people would tell you that's probably my best body of work. I could agree to an extent. I got a lot of stuff, but yeah, let's be honest and say, yeah, that's the one. So I wouldn't want to try to, like, outshine that or even do a part two. We just gonna leave that as is.
I won't front, sir. I keep it a buck on this show. I found you through my guy Flea on the track Trump. I'm just wondering, how long have you known Flea, and how long have you guys been doing music together? Because I know Flea just started taking music about last year, something like that.
Yeah, Flea's, man, he's a real solid dude. I got with Flea, probably been networking with Flea for about 2-3 seasons now, give or take. You know, we working on the project, you know, we got some guest appearances, a couple dope producers on there. I don't want to state just yet, but yeah, man, I got with Flea through a couple mutual friends, you know what I mean? People we network with together, people we know, we both know, and glad to say that he's Latino, I'm Latino, it's Rock America is coming, you know what I mean? We got a dope posse cut coming with Bodega Bands, a couple others. You know what I mean? I don't know if I can even talk about
it. No, it's all good. I don't want you to get to say nothing you're not supposed to.
Yeah, man, me and Flea working. He's on my new album with Muggs. I got him and Big Twins on the record together. You know what I mean? He's still mobbing, and yeah, man. That's the homie right there.
And he good people too, man. Like I said, shout out to Flea, man, for putting me on to Ito, man. Salute again.
Yeah, man, Flea's a real dude, man. That's my guy.
I noticed too with you, you went by Little Ito before, and I'm just curious, what made you want to drop the Little? Is it because there's so many Littles out there?
Yeah, you know what? Not only that, but that's the main reason. But just because, you know, I grew as an artist, you know, Little Ito has been established since the early thousands, but. You know, nobody paid attention. I wasn't too hard on the internet. And, you know, I was willing and dealing in the streets. So, you know, I just grew as an artist, so I felt like I had to remove that. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm older now. And that as well, you know, all the little, young, that too. That got a lot to do with it too. But, you know, I was Little Ether before the Little Boosies and these guys.
Yeah, because you've been around since 2000s.
Pretty much. I mean, I dropped my first joint in Rochester about that time, but like I didn't hit the. Say it was about 2008 when I started getting my feet wet. You know, I get people just got there. Like 07, 06, Ransom, I produced for Max B. Green Lantern is also Rochester native. Dropped the tape with him about like 2010. So yeah, I ain't start making noise till mid thousands, you know?
And, because, like, what made you want to keep your foot on the pedal? Because for a lot of people, like, they'll do it for about 5 or 10 years and be like, yo, this ain't for me. But you strive, and it's like, you get better with time. I'm just wondering, like, what makes you want to keep your foot on the gas?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, I love what I do. I got love for it. You know, I'm not actually looking to get rewarded or, like, you know, a lot of these guys are probably just seeking, you know, income or what have you, trying to be famous or rich. One thing about me, I got love for it first, so I'm going to always do it, regardless. Like I said, I came up in a musical household. You know, my whole family, like, plays instruments, sings, my mother, karaoke, all type of shit. I mean, so. I just do it because I love it, and that's what I do, and, you know.
Because you come from a musical household, and in an interview I watched by you, you said your uncle was the B-boy in the family with the sheepskins. I'm just wondering.
Oh, yeah.
What was the first cassette he ever, like, showed you that, like, that was hip-hop, if you can remember?
Oh, man, I'm glad you asked that question. That's crazy, because I just talked about this the other night with my guy. That's when I knew this is what I was going to do. The first record that ever caught my eye, and it was in my uncle's crate. And I remember he used to lock me in his room with the strobe light, fog machine. Now look, check it, right? The first record I seen in his crate that caught my attention was LL Cool J's Walking with a Panther.
Oh, holy shit.
And I seen that Black Panther with that big, Dookie rope chain on and LL and that pose, man. That's when I knew. I said, yeah, man, this is it. I wanted one of those rope chains even then.
I still want one of those.
yeah. But nah, that's the first record that ever caught my attention. Wow. Was LL's Walking with a Panther. I was probably 8 years old, give or take.
That's actually a good album to find for your first one, too.
Yeah, I just knew. Like, you know, I came up, you know, early 90s.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I had my share of the late 80s through my uncle. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because he was the older one.
Yeah, definitely. And he's actually the youngest one out of the brothers and sisters. But
So he was on all the new stuff back then.
Oh, yeah, man. He had crates and crates. Technique 1200s. You know, he was DJing, scratching, and all that. And he's pretty much the blame of my outcome.
I'm just curious too, because when you do songs like Cleaning House and you sample like a quote, I'm just curious too, what makes you want to incorporate like quotes from movies or stuff like that into your music, sir?
That's something me and shout out to Vinyl too, that's my guy, Vinyl Villain. He actually came up with that, and I just fed around it. You know, he sent me to work, and I tackled it. And he always has a nice view and input, and the way he works on his piece, you know, gives me the idea. And that's how I come about it. I work with what the producers send me, and he always paints the picture for me. You know what I mean?
Kind of sets the tone for you.
Definitely. He's dope. You know, normally I would plot on a concept, you know, but Vinyl Villain, you know, clean closets and all that, he gave me the concept because of what he added into it and what he incorporated in it, you know.
I'm just curious, too, because this was actually one of my favorite artists when I was just a teenager. Because I was born in 91. I'm still young as fuck. But he was actually one of my favorite artists coming up because I was really into the mixtape area. And when I went back and looked up your discography, I noticed that you had the late Stack Bundles on New Money America. I'm just wondering, because you're from Rochester. How'd you hook up with Stack back then? Rest in peace to Stack.
DJ Diggs, great friend of mine. DJ Diggs connected a lot of dots for me. Him, how did I get with Stack? It might have been through MySpace, man.
Oh, wow.
To be honest, it might have been through MySpace. I don't want to lie, but I'm 100% sure that it was an online thing, and I reached out to. I can't even remember. This was like, what, 07?
Yeah, this was like 06, 07. This was like when I was like 13, 14.
Yeah. This is definitely...
MySpace.
Something we put together through MySpace. Through people Stack dealt with. We connected to dots, and then I got with Stack personally. And that was history.
Do you have any memories that stick out with him that you always remember and possibly, like, tell your loved ones about in the future?
Oh, yeah. My favorite, we drove to Queens. We got to his spot. Because I actually, you know, a lot of times I would diss features and stuff through, you know, via web. But I actually got to get in the studio with Stack. So my best highlight of the night is when I presented my piece to him. And I was the second beat he heard, and he said, "That's it. I don't want to hear nothing else. Take the CD out." Beat number two, and it was go time. He was so hyped. His energy was so alive, so pure and real. You know, the hospitality. You know, he was a gentleman first. You know what I mean? And that's what I love the most about him is that. The way he went about it, working with me, how he took me in, didn't keep it business. You know what I mean? Kind of like...
Y'all built a friendship.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Ransom, too. Ransom is my brother. Like
one of my favorite MCs.
I work with Ransom. Yeah, you know, me and Ransom, I got endless joints with Ran, a bunch we have yet to release. You know, so, yeah, man, he was one of the guys who would build a relationship first, you know what I mean? Cool nigga, you know what I mean?
When you were coming up, like, during, like, the MySpace days and stuff like that, do you still, like, try to go back and look up your old MySpace just to see how far you came?
Yes. I've actually tried to log in. I went as far as, you know, requesting new passcodes and I couldn't get in. But yeah, man, you know, always look back and be like, wow, you know, this is crazy. crazy because at the time when I was coming up, the people who are up now, you know, you couldn't even mention these guys. So, you know,
yeah,
it was like bittersweet. But I didn't know how important it really was at that time because I was young, dumb, and full of nothing. You know what I mean? So now it means more to me now, and that's why I take it so serious now because we fail to, you know, take advantage of opportunities. We never take advantage of the people, but, you know, you got an opportunity, you take it. And I never did. I never took it serious, so. Yeah, that means a lot to me to this day.
And for the people who don't know, like, you're making, like, a lot of rounds in the underground right now. Like, I just seen that one of my favorite podcasts, they play you, the Burial song, as their sleeper. I'm like, yo, I know this guy. This is Ito.
I've been getting, getting a lot of great feedback on that record. I actually reached out to DJ Scratch, and I'm like, yo, what you want for a beat? He's like, I said, I got 1,000. I can send you 800 now. He said, that's not enough, boss. I need 5,000. So I said, oh. But now it's all love, you know what I mean? Like, I did that on the Humbug. I felt like, man, let me just put something out real quick, you know? It's top of the year. I put it out on New Year's Eve.
Yeah. Or
maybe the next day, New Year's Day. So I'm like, just for kicks, let me put a record out, you know?
It's a good way to start off 2019.
Yeah, and I'm going to be honest. I wasn't expecting the results I got because, again, I didn't plan it. I didn't, you know, promote or nothing. I just said, link in bio, boom, boom, boom. Put a little clip out. And, man, that shit took flight. So crazy, man. I love that record too. Video on the way, by the way.
Oh, I can't wait for that video. That's one of my favorite records. And that, but like, that's what I like how you said, like, how you didn't plan or anything like that, because that's how some of the best records take off. You don't plan it.
Yeah. I literally, like, didn't plan nothing. And I noticed that it's actually good when you go about it that way.
Yeah.
Because on my behalf, because I'm still, you know, I'm still catching wind and getting my feet wet. So I notice when it's something they never heard or you just put it out, they're anxious to hear it. So they're like, boom, what's this? But it's cool to, you know, we got to build anticipation and market too. But sometimes, you know, sometimes it's good, cool to just let it go without mentioning nothing.
And when you're, like, naming a song and stuff like that, I'm curious, too. Like, when you're naming, like, a project, like an Amaretta, do you name it? Or, like, do you kind of, like, let the producer or somebody else around you kind of name it?
Me and V Dawn, we always work together. We always agree to disagree. We always come to the table. I would come with a title. Be like, Ma, you sell this. Or now he'll come with one. We should call it this. So it's a mutual. It's we work together. Ideas we build together, and normally it will come from my uncle might title some shit. You know what I'm saying?
Oh really?
Yeah, my uncle titled a few of them. And just whatever we agree on. You know, we just plot and, you know, work together and come up with something that we both agree on, and that's it.
What would you say, like, the project that people always hit you up about, like, that you get, like, every day that people hit you up about this project?
Old Murder, by far, man. Till this day, I get a new listeners, new followers, new supporters every day because they stumbled across Old Murder. And I'm not mad at him, you know what I mean? Because I was kind of, you know, that was my whole point, was to get the people familiar. But by now, I'm like, you ain't heard Old Murder yet, you motherfucker. But, you know how I go. I'm glad that they're catching on. And I get new supporters almost every day, man. It's a beautiful feeling. And I don't care how long it takes for them to catch on. They're catching on, and they love it, and I love it. You know what I mean?
I'm glad that you appreciate your fans, because like a lot of these big artists, like, I ain't never gonna interview him, so I'll just say his name. When I met T.I., yo, he did not respect, like, his solo fans. I was trying to pay him for a picture, and he's like, nah, it ain't fair. I'm like, what?
Who?
T.I.
Who's that?
Like, T.I.P., like, the so-called Canada South. He's mainstream.
Nah, I don't know. Who that is.
Yeah, but that's what made me really start fucking with the underground a lot more as a teen, because I noticed that they're more authentic and they're more real with it too, and they appreciate every fan that they get.
Yeah, and that's what it's about, man. Like, you know, we gotta appreciate it, man. We can't never, like, get big headed or arrogant. It's like, that should be the motivation, period. Should never stop supporting, you know, people who support you.
And that's how I know you're on a good path, because you appreciate people, sir.
Definitely do, man. It's been a long time coming. I got a lot of years in this shit, and, you know, I bought dreams before. I fell for a lot of bullshit that never panned out. So, you know, I'm learning the business and building relationships, communicating more, you know. Me and DJ Muggs dropping. I got a whole bunch of projects coming out, man. It's just
flood the market.
Yeah, man, definitely. I got a bunch of videos that are done. We have yet to release.
You know,
just building and
I'm not going to ask about, like, how, like, the collaboration of DJ Muggs is coming, but I just do want to ask, how did you, like, ever meet DJ Muggs? Because that's Cypress Hill. That's legendary right there.
Oh, man, that's my big bro right there. That's my mentor. He's my favorite guy. But I'm going to tell you how that came about. Me and my brother, Lee Dawn, has been working for years. So, Lee Dawn on the old murder, if you recall, I got the record with Mayhem Loren.
Yes.
He, V Dawn, connected those dots for me. He said, yo, I got Mayhem Loren. We're going to put him on this record and what have you. So he made it happen. And Mayhem and Muggs are like brothers. So the way that came about was through Mayhem. Mayhem let Muggs hear the record and video we shot together off the old murder, the high joint.
Oh.
And, so Mayhem put that together. Thanks to Mayhem, he put me in position to work with Muggs. He pretty much presented me to Muggs, and the rest was history.
Y'all got my money on that project, sir.
Mm-hmm. We'll be doing the in-store signing, meet and greet at Madlib spot. Rap Cats out west. Don't have exact date yet, but I want to say February, mid-February or so. But I'll keep you posted on dates. I mean,
oh, I'm always looking for a new Ito.
Yeah, man, Hell's Roof is gonna. It's crazy. Hell's Roof is crazy.
You know, I'm not too sure if you're familiar with Ty Ferris.
I actually am. He actually just reached out to me. He works with, Crocs? I don't know, Trox.
Oh, yeah, he was producing for Dreamville the other day. Yeah, I know Trox, so he's a good dude.
Yeah, he works with Trox. He actually reached out to me the other day or so. He said he hit me, reached out about a feature or something like that. So, yeah, I'm familiar with Ty Ferris. I actually got to reach back. I haven't yet, but I will. Yeah, I'm familiar with Ty.
Because I have a very good ear for collaborations. And, like, when I hear Ty's music and then when I go to an Ito song, like, in my playlist, I'm like, damn, these guys would fucking kill a song together.
Yeah. Those were his song. We reached out for that, so.
Okay.
I gotta reach back and maybe we can solidify that. I mean, as of now, honestly, like, you know, features are costing, and I'm willing to work with artists, but I know how they go about proceeds. You know, we do a feature, then they sell it on iTunes, and, you know, Spotify, monetizing the record, and don't break the artists off. So I would love to work with a lot of these artists, but we got to keep it business. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because, like, it has to benefit you as well as benefit them, too.
Yeah, I mean, not even, because if they weren't benefiting, then we could do music. I mean, but, you know, the game changed. You know, now producers got to pay the artists because, you know, producer sends you a beat. You do it, and then he sells it on iTunes, and it's like, you know, we got to at least talk splits, percentages, a fair share at least. You know, otherwise, then we can send the tax. You know?
Because I never been to, like, the USA before, and I am going to come down there next year or this year. But what's, like, a Ito show like for somebody who's never even been to the United States? Can you explain that atmosphere for me, sir?
I believe it's the same shit everywhere you go, man. It's just different environment. I would like to say that every town, city, state has a hood, a ghetto. Yeah. I've been around. I haven't been around the world, but I've been around to honestly say that it's nothing different. Just a different environment, and, you know, I don't know. I mean, Rochester is dangerous, but it's good too.
It has its good and its bad.
The hip-hop scene here, yeah, the hip-hop scene is beautiful. You know what I mean? And, yeah, man, when I'm in Cali or Denver, I get the same feeling I get anywhere I go. It's just you meet new people and go to new places.
What's the craziest show, like, y'all ever seen, like, some chick, like, giving it out to every guy, or, like, the guy, like, taking somebody's bitch or something like that? Like, you ever had a show like that?
Not really. I mean, when I go to shows or perform, I look forward to peace, man. Be a lot of shit happening. I don't look forward to nothing but performing and getting the hell out of there. But the dopest show I've ever attended was right here in my city when Big Pun came.
Oh, wow. And, that's a legend right there.
Yeah, Big Pun came, and, man, I want to say that was, like, one of my first, second, third concerts I ever attended.
But see, you can actually say you seen Big Pun in concert. You know how much, like, I would kill to say, like, yo, I seen Biggie Pun in concert.
Oh, man, he came to Rochester, man, and wow, it was amazing. That same night we had, who came? It was him. They had these guys, All City, who messed with Onyx. They came. Sticky Fingers was there. Core Mega was there. KRS-One. Yeah, I think, yeah, that by far got to be the best concert or performance I've ever attended.
With you, like, keeping it very raw and authentic, too, I'm wondering, too, if a major label came up to you and said, like, we want to sign you, but you have total freedom control, would you consider doing something like that? Or you like to really keep it independent because you get all the money and you don't have to pay the middleman?
Most certainly. If I had some sense of control, if I had some sense of upper hand, definitely. But for the most part, I would pass on it because, you know, you're never in control with those guys. So if they gave me the opportunity to, you know, bounce my own ball through them, yes, I would do that. Definitely.
Oh, that's an interesting answer, because a lot of artists, they would be like, you know, if I get a little bit control, I won't do it. But, like, see, you, like, I notice with real people too, like, they're willing to give somebody a chance if it's right, but if that shit don't seem right, it's like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah, nah, it has to make sense. I'm not in no position to request to be in control, but, you know, I would much rather meet that proposal, you know. Sort of like, you know, how West Side Gun has the situation with Shady, you know. they're actually giving him an opportunity to build Griselda. So, yeah, if it was down those lines, most definitely, I would definitely compromise and work something out. You know what I mean?
That's crazy how you said that, because that's kind of the whole reason why I asked that question.
Yeah, so, yeah. You know, Westside Gunn is no fool. That's another great friend of mine. He
good people.
You know, yeah, definitely. And, you know, great energy, great character. He's not an asshole. He's not a dickhead. He brought me out in Buffalo. He got me on the album. You know, he keeps in touch here and there. You know, he's a great guy. And I love what he's doing. And you know, to take it back to the inspiration, he's another one who inspires me these days. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Westside Gunn definitely showed me different views and different ways to go about business, you know, as far as merch and releasing and not just, you know, he's very strategic. He's got it all figured out, formatted, and yeah, and I love the way he goes about building his brand. Mm-hmm.
See, I'll keep it a buck. A lot of people, they're jumping on the Westside Gunway because they're shady. But see, me, I found Westside and Conway through a Combat Jack episode. Rest in peace to Combat. When I heard, like, all these underground artists through Combat Jack, and it kind of makes me sad that I can never hear no new Combat Jack episodes. I'm just wondering.
No, rest in peace, man. God bless him.
That was a good guy right there. I didn't even meet him, and I could tell he was a good guy.
Yeah, man. Sad to say, I haven't, you know, had the chance to build with Jack. But yeah, man. You know, I'm a great judge of character. You could just tell. You know, he was a solid dude, and definitely gave Gunn a shot. And yeah, man, that was great. That was a great time.
I'm just curious too. Has anybody, like, from a podcast world, like a Rap Radar or a Joe Budden, ever, like, reach out to you?
Oh, yeah, I mean, Mar has been supporting me. I mean, he's presenting my music twice on the podcast.
Yeah, that's how I heard the Burial song. I'm like, yo, that's Ido right there.
Yeah, right. The first one he presented was the one with Man Mayhem, the High record. But that episode, excuse me, that episode, they actually had footage of them presenting it, and if you go to my Instagram, you'll see the clip I posted. Joe Budden was hyped, like he loved it. So if you could get Joe Budden's attention, man, shit.
That's what I was just gonna say. I was like, if you could get that dude's attention, you're doing something right.
Yeah, you know, he's very stubborn, and I'm cool with it. I'm just glad that he liked it. And Mar, again, you know, just presented the Burial song. So, yeah, that was my second little play on there. Hopefully, you know, we could take it to the next level soon. You never know.
Because I know you're a very busy man, sir, so I won't take up much of your time. So I have two more questions for you, and I'll let you go, sir.
Yes, sir, I'm here.
I'm just curious too. Is there something like Ito likes, like people wouldn't have never guessed, like country music, PS4, Pokemon, something?
Oh man, you crazy? Listen, man, listen. I'm a rock. Listen, I do the soft rock music. Not only that, you know, most of my samples come from that, but rock music as a whole, especially '80s, like it's a lot of tunes that I'll never sample because, you know, the song is so great. Like, for example, Phil Collins is my favorite. Genesis, you know, Journey, Foreigner, you know, Lou Grammy's from here. You know, they don't know. A lot of people don't know he's from Rochester. Doobie Brothers.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
Chicago. Yeah, you know, Chicago. Or Billy Joel, you know.
Wow, yes, you're saying names I wouldn't even have thought of. Wow.
Yeah, I do rock music for real, and I plenty of times I would just listen to it rather than just sampling and creating. Like, yeah, I definitely do rock music, you know what I mean? And I like a lot of, like, international stuff, you know.
Like UK?
Indian music, Russian music, yeah, you know, bunch of different sounds, African, you know. Well, because I produce as well, so I'm always, you know, digging for samples and stuff. But, you know, again, a lot of times I don't sample the tunes that I like the best because it's just, you got to appreciate the sounds. And you just, sometimes you can't sample them motherfuckers, man. They be so dope. Like, yeah. I can't touch this one right here, you know. Man.
It's like, this classic. I'm not even going to attempt to touch this. When you got into producing too, I'm wondering too, when did you start making your own beats?
I started making my own beats in about 2002, 2003. I caught a case. I caught my first case. It was about, middle teens or so, give or take. And I got on house arrest. During that time, I managed to purchase some gear. I was doing a little homework, you know, earning some funds, working from home on house arrest, and, you know, saved some funds and managed to buy the MPC 2000 XL. I bought it used from a pal of mine. Then I bought my keyboard. So, yeah, I'll say about 2003 I started producing.
Oh, so it's nothing new to you.
Yeah, nothing new at all, man. I mean, I produce for Max B, Jay Hood, Ransom Stack Bundles, of course. I produce for A-Rab, Fabulous Artists from Street Family, Jay Mills, bunch of artists. Yeah, so I definitely had my share with producing. Not as much as of recent, but I still produce here and there. And yeah, I definitely still got my tips on the pad, you know what I mean?
I like how you said you produce for other artists, because, like, you could have just kept those beats for yourself. Like, oh, no, this ain't right here.
Well, at one point, I would always produce for me and my team, and we would always rap over my shit. But then it got to the point where I started, you know, networking with other producers and... So I didn't, you know, want to rap over my shit any longer. I would try to shop them. But till this day, I still produce. I haven't rapped over one of my joints in so long, but Promise is coming. I plan on doing a whole tape produced by me solely. And, you know, keep up with the producing, man. But I've just been recording and working with other producers and been so busy, you know.
I can't help but salute the driver in you, sir, man, because, man, that's rare to find, man. So I got to salute that.
Oh, man, all love, man. Thank you, man.
No worries, Ito. So this is the last question I ask all my guests, too, and I feel like that you would give a very, very good answer for this question.
Right.
Do you have any words for somebody in a dark place trying to see the light?
I do, man. And it's very simple, you know. I done fell for a lot of that shit, you know what I'm saying? But a lot of these guys fail to rely on God, you know. We the Lords over here, you know. I'm pretty sure God will call on us. We the war angel.
True that.
I'm pretty sure he'll call on us in his defense. But, only thing I would say is, you know, talk to God, man, and rely on the man, because, you know, a lot of, I don't know, I never fell for the it starts home. It always starts when your parents give you freedom and you end up in the streets around certain dudes and what have you. So, I'm pretty sure every household, every parent at least talked about God. But a lot of niggas came up and their parents were crackheads, dead, or
right here
in jail. So only thing I would recommend for anybody in a dark place trying to see the light is to talk to God, man. That's the only healer right there. You know what I mean? And to think positive, because it's all mental. You know, a lot of these guys ain't free to, you know, they can't free their minds because they're always thinking, energy is everything. So as long as you think negative, those are the results. That's what you're going to bring forth. So, you know, think positive, talk to God more, and, you know, get the work done. Stop sitting around, you know, crying, you know what I mean, looking for sympathy treatments and what have you. Just fix your situation, you know what I mean? A lot of these guys waiting for shit to happen. They'll be waiting forever, you know what I mean?
Because ain't nobody going to fix your life but you.
Exactly. So, you know, that's pretty much it, man. You know, get up, get out, get something. Things around you don't change. Change the things around you. It's very simple.
And I hope so. Go ahead, you know,
sir. It could be all so simple, but a lot of these people make it hard for them because, you know, they don't change the situation. It's simple.
Just like how we
said. I'd rather be happy than rich. You know what I mean? That's my thing. I'd rather be happy than rich. It's a lot of miserable, rich motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying? That's my outtake on that.
I don't think anyone ever said that on the show before, so that's actually real shit right there.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, I'm God-fearing. I just said this. You know what I mean? I did the devil's work for years. I had my daughter and everything changed. You know what I mean? I mean, shit happens. We get caught up in shit. We human. Natural shit. It's not nothing I look forward to. Sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. But other than that, you know what I mean? Just be a good nigga. You got to be a good nigga. Character is everything. Mm-hmm.
That's facts right there.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any, with that being said too, I hope some kid out there who listens to your music and is in a dark place actually listens to that and be like, wow, I'm going to take that and run with it.
Hey, man, I had a few of these guys reach out to me, man, with that, you know. Yo, E, man, you fucking get me by, you know. I listen to you, boom, boom, boom. So, yeah, that shit mean a lot to me, knowing that I could touch these kids or dudes or what have you, and, you know, put them in a better state of mind. You know what I mean? Because, like I said, it's all mental. Once a nigga train his mind, free his mind, and get the negative energy and thoughts, he'll be just fine. Promise. These niggas be tripping. They worried about the wrong shit. You know what I mean? They worried about money. But they need to worry about why they ain't got none. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's backwards.
So, yeah, that's pretty much that. Mm-hmm.
Is there anything that you like to plug in before I let you go, Ito? And once again, I like to send my biggest appreciation, man, because I really do appreciate you doing this, sir.
Oh, man, all love, man. Thank you for having me. Only thing I want to say, man, is Hell's Wolf on the way, man. Ito, DJ Muggs, bunch of videos on the way, bunch of projects on the way, man. And, yeah, man, look forward to it, man. You know what I mean?
With that being said, this is another classic interview from the Desk of Low featuring my guy Ito right here.
Right on. Peace, man.
And peace.
You know what time it is, man.
And like I said, Hell's Roof coming soon. Y'all better cop that.
Yeah, Hell's Roof on the way. I'll say mid-Feb, not sure what day exactly, but look forward to it. It's coming before March, put it like that.
Hey, we're going to get it before the end of the year.
What's that?
We're going to get it before the end of the year.
Oh, yo, most certainly. And a bunch of others.
Oh, wow, okay.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, man.
You got like $50 of my money whenever you release, sir.
Yo, all love, man. I got you every trip. Whenever you reach out, I reach back.
I appreciate that, sir. You're a real one.
You know it, man. All love, man. You stay up, man.
You too, my G. Keep it love. One love.
You know it. One.